Welcome to another edition of the Health First Show. I'm your host, Dave Fuller, and we have an interesting show for you today. We're going to be talking with Edmond Aldo, Adio, about his book, The Woman Who Cured Cancer. It's a story of a lady that that discovered a cure for cancer, and we're going to be talking with him about that research. In the second half of the show, we're going to be talking with some of the representatives from the Health Action Network, and we're going to be finding what they're doing and about health across Canada. Before we do that, here's the health news.
People who believe their lives have meaning may take better care of their health. That's the conclusion from a new study that looked at the relationship between a person's sense of purpose and preventative health care. Researchers included more than 7,000 men and women over the age of 50. Participants filled out a psychological questionnaire that was used to measure their feeling of purpose on a 6-point scale. The higher the score, the greater the sense of purpose. Each person was also asked gender-specific questions about their use of 6 preventative health care services, including getting a flu shot, blood test for cholesterol, colonoscopy or other screening for colon cancer, mammogram, pap smear, and prostate cancer exam. After analyzing the data, the researchers found higher sense of purpose scores were associated with higher likelihood of undergoing a cholesterol test or colonoscopy. Women with high scores were found more likely than others to have a mammogram or pap smear. Men with high scores were found more likely to undergo a prostate exam. Every increase in score also led to 17% fewer nights spent in the hospital. A new study finds nearly 3/4 of people whose hearts are found to be healthy after being checked for coronary artery disease continue to have persistent symptoms such as chest pain. Did the doctors miss something? Probably not. According to the report published November 3rd in the online journal Open Heart, examinations for heart disease can worsen a patient's anxiety and trigger these symptoms. The researchers note about 1 out of 5 people with chest pain has no obvious sign of coronary artery disease, and their symptoms are unlikely to have a physical cause. The German study included 253 people who complained of chest pains, shortness of breath, and heart palpitations, but were found to be free of coronary artery disease after undergoing coronary angiography, an invasive procedure that takes X-ray pictures of the heart. And finally, a new study suggests one possible reason for memory decline in older age may be that brain networks become less able to maintain their separate functions. The findings suggest the brain has a harder time with memory when its separate parts work closer together. At issue is how the parts of the brain work together or work separately. Do the sections each have specialized roles, like players on a baseball or football team, or are they like the security guards at the stadium that have pretty much the same job? And what's the best mix of specialization versus unification? Michael Cole, an assistant professor with the Center for Molecular and Behavioral Neuroscience at Rutgers University in New Jersey, says scientists have debated this topic for years, adding now they're acknowledging the answer lies somewhere between the two extremes. The researchers say advanced years are associated with less specialized brain cells, but they note it hasn't been clear if the same decline occurs at the level of brain networks. In the study published online November 3rd in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, researchers used functional MRI scans to study the brains of 210 people aged 20 to 89.
Well, thanks for that, Reg. Our first guest, Edmond Aldo, has been researching cancer since the 1980s and uncovered a fascinating story. And welcome to the show, Ed.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Tell us a little bit about your first book, The Conquest of Cancer, and how you discovered Dr. Virginia.
Well, my agent called me out of the blue and asked if I'd heard the name Dr. Virginia Livingston Wheeler at the time. And I had heard about her because I had been investigating all kinds of treatments for cancer because my father had come down with cancer. Mm-hmm. So I said, yeah. And he said, well, I need somebody with a science background to write a book with Dr. Virginia Livingston to bring her story to the American public. So I said, fine, but I don't want to be involved with a quack. So I went down to San Diego to her clinic, worked with her for a while in her lab, talked to her doctors, talked to many of her patients, and became convinced that she was onto something, so I wrote a book called The Conquest of Cancer with her. And that was in 1985, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And I know you've written a new book, The Woman Who Cured Cancer. Tell us a little bit about the book. Like, give us a little bit of background, you know, especially about why you wrote it.
Well, Dr. Virginia, about 50 years ago, had discovered a microbe that she proved was the causative agent in cancer. And she opened up a clinic in San Diego, an immunology clinic, to treat cancer patients. And all her patients had been declared terminal by the time they showed up at her door. And she was getting a 90% cure rate for all kinds of cancers.
Sorry, Ed, I just want to stop you there, because what you've told me is that that she was taking patients that were terminal, that the other doctors said, you're going to go home and die, and she was getting a 90% success rate with them.
Exactly. And what she was doing at the time, she had, with a biochemist in Redmond, Washington, had developed a vaccine called an autogenous vaccine. It's made from each individual's own tumor. Well, she and this biochemist developed this vaccine, and she was using that vaccine to treat patients. She was also using what's called a BCG shot, which is essentially a TB shot, because our microbe was the first cousin of the tubercle bacillus. She was encouraging diets that were high in vitamin A. She was using antibiotics because she thought cancer was an infection. And her the organism, which we call the PC microbe, was actually a bacterium, not a virus. Well, all these things caused her to be ridiculed, laughed off the stage by the medical establishment. So now, 30 years later, almost 35, everything she was doing is now common practice. So that's why I wrote the new book, The Woman Who Cured Cancer, to describe exactly what she was doing, how she developed her vaccine, and how everything she was doing then, which was ridiculed, is now common practice. Mm. Doctors give BCG shots. They encourage diets high in vitamin A. Vaccines are being approved just about every 6 months or so. Some doctors are using antibiotics, and they've shown that one of the precursors of cancer in stomach cancers, stomach ulcers, is a bacterium, mm-hmm. H. pylorus. Mm-hmm. So all those things are now true. And in fact, the big news of the book is that the vaccine she developed, she died in 1991, but her vaccine is still being made by the biochemist, Dr. John Meinerich, and is being has been used over the past 20 years hundreds of times all around the country. So I thought people needed to know about this vaccine and where to get it.
Now, I want you to explain why she would be ridiculed, you know, if she was having a 90% success rate with terminal patients. You know, you'd think that she'd be celebrated.
You would think. She invited anyone of authority. She invited the American Cancer Society, the NIH, the CDC. She invited anyone who wanted to come down and examine her practices, come to her clinic, look at her charts, talk to her patients. No one showed up. No one showed up. Mm. And she was kind of a feisty old stubborn German lady. And she burned a lot of bridges when she left New York. She was worked at Sloan Kettering for a long time. She had a big brouhaha stirring with the then president of Sloan Kettering. And she kind of left in a huff and came out to the West Coast to start her clinic in San Diego. So she burned a lot of bridges, made a lot of enemies. But still, with what she was doing and the success she was having, no one showed up to examine or even disprove her techniques. It was absolutely amazing.
Now, she, Dr. Virginia, rejected the three conventional cancer treatments, surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. How come?
She didn't really reject them. She did surgery. She said, let's get the mass out. Let's get the tumor out before we start, treating you. Because, tumors grow and they grow exponentially. So a large tumor gets larger and larger. Mm-hmm. She did some radiation. She worked a lot with the Scripps Hospital down in San Diego. She didn't do chemo, though, because she thought chemo was just a destructive of the immune system. So she did some of those things. She just thought that most of them, like radiation, just destroys good tissue along with bad tissue. Surgery was fine as long as it was, as least invasive as possible. And no chemo. She didn't do any at all chemo. So she didn't really reject them all. She just minimized them.
Right. Tell us about how the immune system worked. What was her belief about how the immune system worked and its relationship with cancer? Did she discuss with you at all why people get cancer in the first place?
Yeah. It was very simple. Their immune systems were compromised. She thought everybody has, and this is generally accepted, that everybody has cancer cells in their body, but the immune system of a healthy person is keeping that suppressed. And it's only when your immune system gets debilitated that the cancer cells are allowed to grow. Now, what this vaccine does is that the cancer cell has a coating on it. It's called HCG, it's human chorioglobulin. And this coating makes the cancer cell invisible to the immune system. So what the vaccine does, this was all her theory, and then it's been proved true. What the vaccine does is eliminate this coating on the cancer cell so that your immune system says, aha, foreign body, and it goes and kills the cell. So what it's all about is that, and science is now very excited about this. There are headlines every day. Cancer is a disease of the immune system. They're finally starting to realize that and treat cancer as an immune system disease.
Did Dr. Virginia have any thoughts on why people's immune system got run down?
Well, it was multifactorial, really. Bad diet, bad habits. I think the American Cancer Society lists 44 immune-destroying agents, pollutants in the air, smoking, drinking alcohol too much, all kinds of things that kind of debilitate your body and your immune system. And finally, you get so weak that, a very teeny, tiny tumor starts to grow because your immune system isn't treating it. Mm. So it's a very multimodal thing on why someone's immune system really gets shot.
We're talking with Edmond Adeo. He's written a book called The Woman Who Cured Cancer. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be finding out more about how you can treat cancer.